All right, folks, welcome back. It's been a long time since we recorded a show, but welcome back to all loyal followers and listeners over the years to the Barbershop on PlayersVoice.com. I am your host, Mark Gray, and I want to wish everybody a happy New Year's 2015. Hopefully it'll be a big year for the Barbershop and all of its listeners. I'm going to do a little different format for this year. So it's been a while, and people keep asking when we're going to come back, when we're going to do another Barbershop. Had to smooth out a couple of things and wanted to make sure that when we came back and we did everything properly. And so I would like to introduce the worst producer, my future producer, with first of what hopes to be many shows together, introduce you to my producer, A1.
What's up, guys?
What's up, guys? What the hell was that? All right, well, A1 will be helping me do my shows here, which will be, we're going to start off today on a recording today on a Tuesday. And hopefully we'll get to two times a week and just keep moving up from there. A1 will do his best to not be heard. That's his goal. But when I need his opinion, I'll ask for it. When I need some stat check, he'll be able to help me with that. And all the other stuff, all the stuff that producers do. But anyway, I want to start getting right into it. Start off the year by saying, on a sider note, Stuart Scott passed away. Obviously, that's not breaking news. But I feel like I'd be wrong as I sit here as an aspiring podcast or whatever you might want to call it to not pay my respect to Stuart Scott, somebody who I would have hoped to got to work with, grew up as a kid. I'm assuming you grew up as a kid listening to Stuart Scott as well.
I mean, for me personally, like, actually growing up, it was more, you know, just your basic weeknight or weekend news report or George Michael sports machine, you know. And it was kind of, I guess, like the last few years of high school, early college. You know, you turn on SportsCenter and it was him, Kenny Mayne, and the rest of the crew, you know. And it was just something different, you know. And you've heard all the adjectives for him, you know.
The one that I'm surprised that nobody's mentioned, which is weird, is the first one that ever caught my attention. I used to watch, I grew up where I would watch SportsCenter every single day. I don't know if you remember, it used to be half an hour blocks every morning, and it would just run back. It'd run one probably at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was the same one all the way through noon. And I would get dressed. I would leave that. I had to leave. My window would be from 7 to 7:30, and I would listen to SportsCenter every single morning. And I remember getting dressed, had my back turned, and the first thing I heard was hitting harder than the Wu-Tang Clan on steroids. And to hear the Wu-Tang Clan reference on SportsCenter was so taboo. It was so far out of left field. That's the first time Stuart Scott caught my attention, and I turned around and said, "Who just said that?" Like, the correlation, because at that time it was you heard Wu-Tang references on MTV, and you heard ESPN references on ESPN. But never did those two worlds ever collide. And I feel like he was the first person to bring those two together. So he's a pioneer on many different levels. People like myself wouldn't even be doing what I am doing today if it weren't for the likes of Stuart Scott. In all the tributes, what can be taken away from it that I notice is that everybody seems to say, as good as he was as a broadcaster and an anchor, that he seemed to be a better person. That's all everybody seemed to say, was nothing but positive stuff and how full he was in life. So I just wanted to make sure that as we do this first podcast, I want to make sure that we pay respect to the late Stuart Scott. Moving on, just to touch on a few things before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show, which would be the NFL Super Bowl, the AFC and NFC Championship game, all that other stuff. I'm going to get to that. A couple of things I wanted to knock out before we got to that. NCAA college playoffs, and for the first time ever, we had a playoffs and we had a champion. The funny thing is that based off of the old system, before there was a playoff system, when the season was over, for me personally, the two teams that I would have wanted to see in the championship game would have been Florida State and Alabama. And I think if that's the game, you would have had to see Florida State because they're undefeated and the defending champions. So they automatically probably would have been in the national championship game. And then Alabama's been the predominant favorite for the better half of, you know, almost a decade now. So essentially, you'd be lining up with an Alabama-Florida State game, and turns out that those, and we would have thought that those were the two best teams in the country, and the things were, they weren't. And that just proves how silly the whole system was that they had before, where we just assumed that whatever two teams were in the national championship game were the two best teams. And that what we were watching was the two best teams in football. When you gotta wonder now, how many times in the past were we watching teams that might have been the third or fourth or fifth best team in the country playing in the national championship game? I remember a couple of years back, the Ohio State, I think it was Ohio State and Michigan, I want to say. I might be wrong about that. I believe it was Ohio State and Michigan. But both ranked, they were 1 and 2. They played, and I believe Ohio State won. And everybody was saying it was such a great game. There's no doubt about it. These are the two best teams in the country. And I wouldn't mind seeing this as the national championship game. And that's what everybody was saying. And the consensus was, yeah, they're 1 and 2. Everybody else is just second. Somehow Florida squeaks in to play Ohio State and beats the bricks off Ohio State. Beats them by like 40 or 50. I don't know if you remember Ted Ginn brought the opening kickoff back for a touchdown. And that might have been the only points that Ohio State scored. So just goes to show. Playoffs are here. It's long overdue. The ratings were phenomenal. And I'm imagining sooner or later, probably much sooner, they'll be going to 18 final playoffs. Let me see. Basketball. In the NBA trades. Here's what I'm noticing, which is just really weird. And there's got to be a solution to it some sort of way. The way that the Western Conference is just, not only are they the Big Brother Conference, you notice that every single time a trader either A gets bought out or gets traded and then bought out and they want to go to contender, they're all going to the West. Like the West is just getting stronger and stronger. And it's like they literally have turned the Eastern Conference into a JV circuit. You know what I mean? The best players in the Eastern Conference, you know, you look at a team like the Celtics, they'll only have one good player, you're taking them trade into the West. You know what I mean? This team, they only have one good player, they're rebuilding, they'll trade that player to the West. Tayshaun Prince ends up on a team. He gets traded over here. He wants to get bought out so he can get back to the West. Nate Robinson just got traded. He came over here. He's just waiting to get bought out so he can go back to the West. And these Western Conference teams are getting so stacked in there. How many of these Western Conference teams do you look at in the sixth and seventh and eighth man are like real legitimate NBA players? You know, everybody's name has been linked to going to the Clippers, you know, and the East, it just seems to, it's just become such a joke, and it's, they gotta find a way to fix it. Some sort of way. I don't know what. Cleveland. Everybody's got their finger on the panic button in Cleveland. Let me start by saying, I feel like any team in the Eastern Conference has a chance, no matter what. And any team with LeBron James has a chance. You tell me there's a team in the Eastern Conference that's not named the Philadelphia Sixers that has LeBron James, and they're my favorite to win to come out of the East. They just are. I don't care. If the Cavs go into the playoff as the AC, if LeBron James and if LeBron James is healthy and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love are there, I don't see how they're not the favorite. I understand Atlanta can win a lot of games. Toronto can win a lot of games. I don't see any scenario where Cleveland, a healthy LeBron and a Cleveland team, isn't better than Toronto or Atlanta. The question to me is, when they put that team together and you find out you're getting Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, LeBron James, and you're doing the coaching search, who says David Black? Tell me that. Does that make any sense to you?
Not to me, no, not at all.
You just kind of like, we're going to get together. It just doesn't make any sense. It's just like, you know, we're putting together this all-star cast. And it's like, man, we're getting this. Yeah. We're getting shooters. We're bringing in Mike Miller. We're bringing in the best shooters. All right. We need rebounding. Let's get Kevin Love, the best rebounder. Okay, yeah. We got the best point guard, right? We're going to get some bench. We're going to get some veteran help. Yeah. What are we going to do for coach? Let's get somebody who's never coached
this dude game. Over in Europe.
Some guy in Europe. Let's give him a shot. I'm lost. That doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. Other news. Anything else in the NBA I'm missing before we get to the NFL? Knicks are very bad. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, I've noticed.
The Knicks are...
Looks like Carmelo might be shut down for the season.
When we were kids, is it just me? This whole, like, Carmelo might be shut down. Kobe might be shut down. Maybe it's because we were younger, but I don't remember anybody getting shut down when we were kids. That didn't happen, right?
It's a new phenomenon, it seems to me.
Like, Mitch Richmond, as far as I'm concerned, he played his whole career in Sacramento on just sorry teams. He never shut it down. Like, he knew the team stunk and he just went out there and lost. He went out there and lost every, and there was a lot, Dominique never shut it down because the Hawks sucked. I mean, the Hawks sucked and he just went out there and played on a bad team, right? You know, it's just like, all of a sudden, I don't remember, I remember Barkley being on some bad teams before he got traded. I remember Kane being on some bad, like, a lot of players being on teams where they never stood a chance to win a title. And them just not shutting it down. It's this whole shutting down. We're starting to see young players getting days of rest, which is, that's just crazy to me. You see so-and-so listed on the thing, it says rest. It's like 25 years old. Well, it's the second half of a back-to-back. It's 25 years old. These guys hit that. You know what 25-year-old players in the NBA do for a back-to-back? Club on Saturday in New York, club in Miami on the next night. You know what I mean? Like, that's back-to-back. Trust me, they're fine. This is crazy. But I'm trying to think, what else is there? Anything else in the NBA? Anything you had that jumped out at you in the NBA? Who do you think right now is the favorite?
Well, I know officially Vegas has named Atlanta the favorite to win the championship.
Which is absurd.
Yeah.
I wonder how many takers they got on that. How many people are saying, how many people right now do you think today saw that and put their money down and said, give me the Hawks. Give me 10 on the Hawks. Why would the Hawks? That's crazy. The one thing that the NBA that has been fact in the NBA over the last 20 years, with the exception of, and I don't even want to say the exception of though, that Pistons team, the NBA is a star driven league. Like, you need a star to win a championship. You just do. And people say that Pistons team, which one would be an outlier, just the one championship out of the last 20 years, but two. That's almost disrespectful to that Pistons team, because I'm out there to say that they didn't have once, they had four. I mean, you know what I mean? They weren't just a bunch of guys that, oh boy, you know, it wasn't Rudy in the Notre Dame game, just a bunch of people stringing along saying, hey man, we're happy to just win this one for the Gipper. You know, Rasheed was an all-star, Ben Wallace was an all-star, Rip Hamilton was an all-star, Chauncey Billups was an all-star, Tayshaun Prince was, like, they were stacked. They were loaded. And Rasheed Wallace, I feel like, is one of the most underrated players in the NBA history. And anytime you can let somebody like Ben Wallace, who's a defensive player, I think he was the four-time defensive player of the year, you can have him neutralizing the guy like Shaq, or as close to neutralizing Shaq as he can be, and then front him with a Rasheed Wallace, a 6'10", 6'11" guy who literally can shoot the three. And then Chauncey, who's a big game, and then Tayshaun, who was there, it looked like he was single, he was built, he was put on this earth to guard people like Kobe. You know what I mean? You're talking about a guy who, I don't know what his height is. Maybe, I guess they probably want to list him at 6'9", 6'10". His arms have to be able to get 9 feet long. Okay, you know what I mean? And he was just built to harass shooting guards. And he did. And in that playoffs, Kobe looked like he had no answer for him. Kobe could beat Tayshaun off the Prince, off the step, could take Tayshaun Prince off the step, off the dribble, excuse me, and beat him by two steps, and Tayshaun was still erasing, because that's how long Tayshaun Prince's arms were. The Hawks, the concept of the Hawks winning a championship, ludicrous. That being said, I like the team. I like the way they're built, but, I mean, there's not even anyone on that team who has championship pedigree in there, championship experience. That doesn't happen. What do you think about Golden State? You buy that?
Well, they blew out the Nuggets by almost 50. But I mean, I'll say that I think the Spurs healthy, Patty Mills healthy, everybody healthy, Tony Parker healthy. I think the Spurs are still the favorite. I think you got to go through the Spurs to.
I don't see how you're not. I think what happens when you have a Klay Thompson and a Steph Curry team, while they are exciting, that's you can't deny. And they are amazing. When it gets to the playoff time, that requires shooters to be on four games out of seven. That, you know what I mean? An off night from either one of them, let alone both of them, essentially costs you a game. Not enough, if any, inside presence. Bogut, you can't count on Bogut to either A, be healthy, or B, what he's exactly going to contribute, even if he is healthy. But the fact is, he's not going to be healthy, so it doesn't really matter. David Lee, they've been trying to work him back in, haven't been doing much of it, but I don't think you can beat a team like, whether it be the Spurs or Memphis or these other teams with these big men just shooting jump shots all day long. I don't think so, but hey, we'll wait and see. I guess that's it before we get into the NFL. NFL, small NFL stories. Rex Ryan, not sure why Rex Ryan would think leaving the Jets, that wasn't his choice, he got fired. But why he would hop right into the Bills job, that's not a bad, that's actually a worse job, if you ask me. Why anybody would want to be that Bills team is, you left coaching Geno Smith for EJ Manuel, what do they call that? Parallel move? I don't know if that's forward, backwards. I don't know. They might be twins. Might be the same person. Who knows? Not sure why Rex Ryan would do that. I would love to know. I felt like Rex Ryan to Atlanta would have been a perfect fit. I really like that. There's so much talent in Atlanta on the offensive side of the ball that Rex Ryan has. He's never worked with an offensive talent. You know what I mean? The opportunity to work with Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, whoever they get in that running back, and you know, why you would, I don't know, maybe they didn't offer him the job, I don't know. Atlanta, you would think that on paper, Rex Ryan, he has a track record of improving defenses, so if you could get the Falcons defense prepared, move them along, get the defense good, offense is ready. I really feel like the Falcons are not that far away from being Super Bowl contention. I don't know why he would take that. A lot of other coaches changed. Broncos fired their coach. That's just interesting. Firing John Fox to get Gary Kubiak. Gary Kubiak has done nothing to prove that you should be firing your coach to get him. A lot of times people fire coaches just for the sake of firing coaches without ever even thinking about do we have somebody to replace them. John Fox isn't getting the job done. All right, let's get rid of him. Then it's like, all right, now what? I don't know, they get that far yet. I didn't really thought about that. You see, it happens in the NBA all the time. They fire really good coaches, and they don't have anybody to replace them. And say what you want about X coach, it's definitely better than Y coach. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. What are the other coach changes? Anyone that was major? I'm trying to remember. The Bears fired their coach, Tressel, who was supposed to be. That's going to be interesting to see what happens there as Fox goes to the Bears. Real interesting to see what happens with him and Cutler. What do you make of Jay Cutler?
Overrated. You hear every year about all these intangibles he has, but I've never seen him put it together on the field.
Right. So I don't think overrated is the right word because I don't think anybody rates him. I think what it is everybody's in awe of his talent, and it's talent never meets production. So it's not overrated because nobody's excited about him. Nobody's ever said, everybody is. Everybody's in awe of his arm, a la Jeff George, or, maybe a couple other people. You'll watch him throw a 60-yard pass in between two defenders, and that is amazing. Until that same exact pass gets intercepted, and you say, what the hell is that to throw the ball to a guy who's double covered? It doesn't even make any sense. So you would think somebody, these are professional coaches, that somebody would be able to reach him and get this talent out of him. I don't know. I'd be interested to see what a Parcells or one of these guys who have proven track records as winners, what Belichick would do if he got his hands on Jay Cutler, What would Parcells do if he got his hands on Jay Cutler? What would Harbaugh do if he got his hands on Jay Cutler? I don't know. It'd be interesting because the talent is definitely there and you can't coach that.
So let me ask you, suppose Cutler were to go to say Philly and work in Chip Kelly's offense.
Yeah, it's intriguing. That's all I can say. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it. That's all I can say is I'd like to see it. I would like to see it. That's all I can say. I don't know what would happen. My guess is there has to be more to the story.
You think he's better than Nick Foles?
Yeah, I've never drank the Nick Foles Kool-Aid. And I had this conversation with my brother all the time. He's a Redskins fan and he hates the Eagles. So he doesn't want to give Foles credit. He says Foles isn't good, which I agree with. And he says, I'm so tired of hearing all the Chip Kelly talk. Chip Kelly is so overrated. Well, one of the two is good. You can't have it both ways. You can't say Nick Foles isn't good and Chip Kelly isn't good. One of them is good. That's what I told him. I think Chip Kelly's system. I believe in Chip Kelly's system. And I think that he made Nick Foles, who I don't think is a good quarterback, throw 29, 27 touchdowns and two interceptions or whatever the case may be. So I think Chip Kelly's system is good because I do not think Nick Foles is a good quarterback. And I think his system made him look good. But the point is that they can't, one of the two, somebody in there is good. I don't know which one of them is. My bet is Chip Kelly because nobody was talking about Nick Foles before that. So I'm going to go with him. I would like to see him. And I'm going to be interested to see what happens in this draft if they go up and get the boy from Oregon, who they say this offense was created for. And that he knows that. Be interested to see if they go and get him. Let's put it this way. Have you ever seen a quarterback who had Nick Foles' stat sheet and resume and production that people were less sold on? Like, can you think of anybody else? Is anybody else throwing 27 touchdowns and two interceptions and the team was talking about taking a quarterback in the first round of the draft?
No.
Is there another team that people say, has anybody ever put up that type of production and somebody else said, man, I think Mark Sanchez might be able to get his job?
Nope.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's something there. There's definitely something there. If people who put up the type of numbers he put up, people aren't looking for their replacements. You know what I mean? So, because people have done half of what Nick Foles has done and nobody's looking for their replacement, you know? So, I don't know what's going to happen with Jay Cutler. Anything else that we want to talk about before we got into the championship games? Anything else in the, NFL? The Dez Bryant catch, one of those things where it, letter of the law, it's frustrating. I watched it in real time, like, the rest of America, and I said, sat here with three or four of my buddies, and I said, that's the greatest catch. One of the greatest catches I've ever seen, and not in terms of like the Odell Beckham catch, which I did think was the greatest catch, but in terms of the play of the game in regards to where it was in the game, 4th and 2, big game, he throws it up there, he catches it. Not only does he catch it, he attempts, he basically got penalized for catching a ball and then trying to score with it.
I mean, if you think about it, literally the only reason it wasn't a catch was because he tried to get a touchdown. That was just, say, a 30-yard pass or, you know, just a regular pass, you know, that's a catch, you know?
If the average, and that's what I'm saying, not only is it's only a handful of receivers who are able to make that play, but he is so talented that he was able to make that play, and that wasn't, like, that wasn't even enough, though. It's like, can you make that catch? Yeah, I can make that catch. And I'm gonna score. You know what I mean? And it was like, oh, well, you know, he made the catch, but when he tried to score, you didn't, the ball came out, and that shouldn't be how it is. He essentially was punished because of his athletic ability. I mean, that was an amazing catch, and for that not to count, you know, that's, I don't know, the NFL. Now, that being said, the referees have a job to do, and that's their job. Their job is to call these plays the way that is negotiated in the offseason. It's just like anything else in society. If you don't like the red light camera thing, then write your congressman and address that there. You know, the result isn't to just run through the red light. That's not how it works. And so this is a bad play, and the NFLPA needs to address it in the offseason. But to blame the referees for calling the proper call, that's not the way to do it. I think that sums up everything, but that's the beauty of having more than one show, is that we can do it at another day. And also, anything that you ever want to hear me talk about, because I know you don't want to hear A1 talk about anything, anything you'd like to hear me talk about, please feel free to always contact, send in the emails. The email address would be mg@playersvoice.com, on Facebook, Players Voice, and you can always tweet me, follow me on Twitter, Gray A Mark. How'd I do it? Let me show you how to, it's at, what do you say, at Gray A Mark.
Yeah.
That's how my Twitter handle is. Mark this down as the first show. Watch how much better I get at this when I start saying, I'm going to become so hip. I'm going to be known as the coolest dad on the air. I'm going to be saying things at me. You know what they say? That's what the kids say. At me.
That's
so
what they say.
That's what, at me. So it is Gray A Mark. At me. Whatever. At Gray A Mark. Is that what you do?
Yes.
Follow me at,
yes,
Gray A Mark.
Yeah.
And it's Gray, G-R-E.
I'm not on Twitter.
You're not on Twitter?
I'm not on Twitter.
Okay. Do me a favor. Don't. Because I want you to be discouraged by the lack of people that will follow you. No, put that down too. Today we're gonna get my man A1 a Twitter account, and it's gonna be followers galore. followers galore. We're about to do this together, man. We're gonna take over Twitter. Watch out, Kim. They're not even talking about Kim and Kanye and Kanye anymore. It's gonna be MG and A1. Have you heard about this? Followers galore. Alright, let's take a break here and then go over to the second part. And in the second part, we'll go straight into the NFL, Super Bowl, go back over the AFC and NFC, championship games, and what's gonna happen in the Super Bowl.